We present The Liar by Henry James, adapted for radio by Mary Hope Allen. The action of the story takes place in England about the year 1888. The Liar.
The train was half an hour late, and the drive from the station longer than I'd supposed, so that when I reached Stays Hall, everyone had dispersed to dress for dinner, and I was conducted straight to my room. The fire was bright, the candles lighted, and the servant quickly put out my clothes. I was encouraged to notice that here, apparently, the art of portraiture was esteemed, for the walls were adorned with old-fashioned lithographs of country gentlemen in high collars and riding gloves. There was the customary novel by Mr. Lefanu by the bed. I could scarcely forbear beginning it as I buttoned my shirt. About 25 people were assembled in the hall as I went down.
There you are, Mr. Lyon. You must have had a horrid journey in this fog.
Mrs. Ashmore, my deepest apologies.
Then we'll go into dinner at once.
Ah.
I've put you beside Mrs. Vernon, Mr. Lyon.
Yes?
I'm afraid you must make do with a gentleman on your left. Dear Mr. Vant, our oldest neighbour.
Good.
You'll introduce yourself at the table, won't you?
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah. You're Mr. Oliver Lyon.
I am. Mrs. Vernon?
Molly Ashmore said she was putting me beside a celebrity. Oh. So you're the painter?
Well, I admit to that, but not to the celebrity. Looking along the table, I feel I'm surrounded by celebrities, though. Such pretty women, such relaxed and handsome men.
Ah, that's because the men have had a strenuous day's hunting. The first meet of the season.
Ah.
George Ashmore is our MFH. A pity you couldn't be out with them today.
Oh, I haven't ridden the hounds for years. All I do now is to indulge in an occasional canter in Richmond Park. This is a most beautiful room.
I've always liked it. And Molly is so clever with the flowers.
Magnificent. But the whole place seems that to me. I've never been to Stays before.
Good. I gather you're the painter fellow that's coming to do Sir David.
Yes, I am. I was looking round the table, but I don't think he can be here.
Oh, no, no, no. He has his meals in his own quarters.
Oh, I see.
He's 90, you know, poor fellow.
Is he really?
He beats me by a year or two.
Mm. I'm looking forward to painting a very old man. Is he like our host, his son over there?
Oh, well.
It'd be nice if he had that ruddy color, with perhaps white hair and a lively eye.
Well, I think he's more distinguished than Arthur.
Oh.
He always looks to me like a farmer. Or is it a banker? Arthur, I mean. You'll see for yourself tomorrow.
Yes. Yes, as a painter, it's my greatest pleasure to watch faces in a group and to speculate about them.
Oh.
Yeah, there's plenty of interest here. Now, that gentleman four places off, who's he? Still fairly young, has a sort of gallant, adventurous air. Something so genial and warm about him, as if he could ripen grapes, or even human affection, perhaps, just by looking at them. Who can he be?
Oh, that's Colonel Capitals.
Ah, a soldier, is he? Well, he could be anything.
Who on earth are you talking about?
Oh, Clement Capitals.
Oh.
I'm getting out of my depth. You're so highfalutin. Mrs. Vernon knows them better than I.
Well, I know Colonel Capitals has been a great deal in India.
Really?
Isn't he rather celebrated?
Well, I've never heard of him.
Oh, perhaps he isn't. He says he is. And if you think it yourself, it's the same thing, isn't it?
Do you mean he says things that aren't true?
Oh, of course not. Because I never know. He's exceedingly amusing and clever, quite the cleverest person in the house. Unless perhaps you're more so.
Oh.
I only know about the people I know. But I've heard of you, and I know your pictures, and I admire them.
Thank you.
But I don't think you look like them.
Well, as they're mostly portraits, I don't usually try for my own resemblance.
Oh. Oh, I see. And now you're here to do Sir David.
Yes. I'm rather disappointed not to find him here this evening.
Oh, he goes to bed at some unnatural hour, 8 o'clock or something of that sort.
I see. I've never seen him, or any portrait or photograph of him. I'm surprised that he's never had anything done, waiting all these years.
That's because he was afraid, you know.
Afraid?
It was a kind of superstition. He was sure if anything were done, he'd die directly afterwards.
Ooh.
He'd only just consented.
He's ready to die, then?
Oh, he's so old, he doesn't care now.
Well, I hope I shan't kill him. It seems rather unnatural of his son to send for me.
Oh, they've nothing to gain. Everything is theirs already. They do as they like. They fill the house with people. They have carte blanche.
I see. But there's still the title.
Oh, yes, but what is it? It's only a baronetcy.
Mrs. Yes. Vernon's a very witty woman.
Yes, isn't she? Oh, There's a lady two seats beyond you. I've only just caught sight of her. What a beautiful creature. Do you know, I'm almost certain. Yes, the extraordinary thing is that I used to know her. A reserved, proud creature she used to be, and there she sits looking at Colonel Capados as if she were in love with him, positively hanging on his lips. Who is she? I mean, what's her name now?
Mrs. Capados.
Do you mean his wife, that fellow?
Of course.
Well, she certainly is in love with her husband.
Fancy your knowing Mrs. Capados.
I knew her once upon a time when I was living abroad. I knew she had married after that, of course, but I didn't know her name. This is really astonishing. Well, tell me, how does she go down? Do you all like her? Do tell me.
Well, really, what a question. I can only speak for myself. I think she's hard.
Ah, that's only because she's honest and straightforward.
Are you suggesting that I only like people who deceive?
I think we all do, as long as we don't find them out. But there's something in her face, a sort of Roman look. In spite of her English eyes, and she is English down to the ground, but her complexion, her forehead, and the beautiful close wave in her dark hair makes her look Italian.
Really? What a rhapsody. But I see what you mean about her hair. I must say, I like her husband better. He's so clever.
When I knew her, no one could compare with her. She was quite the most delightful thing in Munich.
In Munich?
Yes, her people lived there, in pursuit of economy, in fact. Munich was very cheap. Her father was a younger son of a peer. No chance of inheriting anything, title or money.
I see.
She was charming to her little brothers and sisters.
She sounds a paragon.
All the artists in the place were in love with her. She wouldn't look at us. She was simple and frank and kind about it when she told me she must marry well. She said it was the only thing she could do for her family. I suppose you'd say she has married well.
She told you?
Oh, of course, I proposed to her, too.
Oh, I see.
To look at her now, she seems to think she chose the right man.
Well, I should... Oh, I see Molly is herding us all out after her. I must follow the others. Excuse
of course.
Oh,
that's a rare these days.
Yes. After day's hunting, he thinks nothing of sitting up all night. The horse has a difficult thorn in his leg. They never leaves a thorn in. Wonderful groom.
Remarkably fine day's hunting you gave us, Arthur. Glorious run over splendid country.
My dear Clement, I hope this will be the start of a good season. A perfect day for hounds, of course. I thought at first there might be too much sun for a good scent.
You need a nip of frost for that.
Do you still have a day to hounds now and then, Mr. Vance?
Well, not now. Too far off. Foxes don't run my way.
Oh, I see.
I thought I saw your boy out today, Henry. He looked like a thruster.
He's keen, I'm glad to say.
Bad luck about poor Trevelyan. Nasty thing. Looked grave, I thought.
Oh, some accident, sir?
A neighbouring squire, poor old chap. Came a cropper in an awkward place. Hounds running like blazes. He was going rattling well, too, riding a nailing good hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Can't understand what happened. He was unconscious when they picked him up.
I sent round for news, Clement. It seems he may have some sort of seizure. Heart, I'd guess.
Well, let's hope he's out again soon.
If he recovers.
Bless you, I shouldn't despair of a fellow, even if he didn't come round for weeks and weeks. Or months. Or even years.
Really?
No, fact. I know from personal experience. There's no limit to the time one might lie unconscious without being any the worse for it.
Extraordinary. You mean this has happened to you?
Oh, yes, in Ireland, years ago. I was pitched out of a dog car, turned a sheer somersault, and landed on my head.
Good heavens.
They thought I was dead. But I wasn't, you know. They carried me to the nearest cabin, and I lay there for days with the pigs.
Well,
the near thing, they didn't put me underground.
You don't mean it.
Rather, I was completely insensible, without a ray of recognition for any human thing for 3 whole months. Of course, they moved me to an inn in the neighborhood. Oh, yes, it was touch and go to such a degree that they couldn't come near me, couldn't feed me, could scarcely look at me. Then one day, I opened my eyes, fit as a flea.
Well, that's perfectly amazing.
I agree with you, but on my honor, it did me good. Providential, really. It rested my brain.
Now, what did your doctor make of the theory?
Well, I was luckier than a friend of mine in India. He was supposed to have died of jungle fever, and they did. Ah, looks as if Ashmore's making a move to adjourn to the drawing room.
Ah, yes, so he is. But your friend in India, was he buried alive?
Huh? My friend?
Yes.
Palmer Sole chucked him into the ground.
And was he left there?
He was, till I came and hauled him out.
Clement, old man, I promised Molly we wouldn't be long. The ladies demand our presence. Bring Lyon with you. He doesn't know the house yet.
Coming, coming, Arthur. My dear chap, are you Oliver Lyon? I didn't realize it. I've often heard of you from Everina.
Oh, really?
Delighted to make your acquaintance. Look, we'll go and find her.
Yes. Had your new horse out today.
I'm so glad she remembers me. I was afraid she didn't. I recognized her at dinner, but she didn't respond.
Oh, I dare say she was ashamed.
Ashamed of me.
Wasn't there something about a picture?
Hmm?
Yes, you painted her portrait.
Well, many times. And she may well have been ashamed of what I made of her.
Well, I wasn't, my dear sir. It was the sight of that picture, which you were so good as to present to her, that made me fall in love with her. Remember it? Vine leaves and a leopard skin, a kind of Bacchante?
I do remember it. It was the first decent portrait I painted. I should be curious to see it today.
Oh, don't ask her to show it to you. She'd be mortified.
Mortified?
We parted with it in a most disinterested manner.
Oh.
An old friend of my wife's, her family had known him intimately when they lived in Germany, took the most extraordinary fancy to it. The Grand Duke of Silberstadt-Schreckenstein, don't you know? He came out to Bombay while we were there and spotted your picture. You know, he's one of the greatest collectors in Europe. He made such eyes at it that, upon the word, it happened to be his birthday, that Everina told him he might have it. To get rid of him, you know.
I see. If it's in a great collection, a work of my incompetent youth, I'm infinitely honored.
Oh, he's got it in one of his castles. I don't know which. He's got so many. He sent us, before he left India, to return the compliment, a magnificent old vase.
Probably more than the thing was worth.
Look, the ladies will never forgive us. Come on, Lyon. Pity you're so interesting to talk to. One loses track of time. Ah, there's Everina. Go and speak to her. She'll be delighted.
Yes. Yes, I will. I hope you haven't forgotten me entirely, Everina.
Oliver Lyon, I'm so glad to see you. When Molly told me you were coming, I was delighted.
I tried to get a smile from you at dinner, but I couldn't.
Oh, well, we were too far off. I didn't feel sure it was you.
I see. Ah, so much to hear and to ask.
Yes. Oh, I often think of the old days in Munich.
Do you?
You're so famous and such a brilliant position now. Do you know, I wondered whether you'd speak to me.
Well, because I know that you were always sincere, I believe you really thought that. I don't think you've changed. You're still the least spoiled beauty I've ever seen. It always seemed to me in the old days that when people were admiring your looks, you were only wondering whether there was a good fire for them in the spare bedroom. Yes, really.
You'll be sorry to hear my father died just after my marriage.
Oh, sad news. He was very kind to me.
He was fond of me. My eldest brother is in the Navy. My second brother is on a ranch in America.
Mm-hmm.
Two of my sisters have married reasonably well, and Julie's just coming out, and she's very pretty.
Yeah, sure.
And that's my history up to the moment. Now, tell me about yourself.
Well, the principal thing that's happened to me is that I never married.
You ought to, Oliver. It's the best thing, really.
I like that from you.
Why not from me? I'm very happy.
That's just why I can't be, since you refuse me. I envy your happiness. Still, I had the pleasure of talking to your husband just now. He's a handsome man.
You must know him very much better soon. I'm glad you think him handsome.
Handsome, clever, and entertaining. You see, I'm generous. He's seen a great deal of life.
Oh, we've been in so many places.
Mm.
Oliver, we have such a beautiful daughter. She's 9 years old. You must see her.
I'll bring her to the studio one day. I'd like to paint her.
Oh, please don't speak of painting her. It reminds me of something so distressing. But it's a weight on my mind, so I must tell you.
Go on.
Well, it's the beautiful picture you gave me. It used to be so much admired. And when you come to see us in London, you'll be looking about for it. I can't tell you that I keep it in my room because I love it so, for the simple reason that...
Because you can't tell wicked lies? Hmm?
No, I can't. So before you
I know you parted with it. The blow has already fallen.
Oh, so you've heard.
Yes.
I was sure you would. But do you know what we got for it?
Yeah.
£200.
Well, you might have got much more.
It seemed a great deal at the time. We were in want of money when we first married, but now, luckily, things have changed for the better.
Good.
Well, we had the chance. It rarely seemed a big sum. And I'm afraid we jumped at it.
Well, fortunately, the original still remains. But do you mean that 200 was the value of the vase?
Of the vase?
Yes, the beautiful old Indian vase, the Grand Duke's offering.
What Grand Duke?
What's his name? Silberstadt Schreckenstein. Your husband mentioned the transaction.
Oh, did he? My husband mentioned the Duke.
Yes, he tells me it's now in the collection. That was some consolation.
In the Grand Duke? Well, you know its reputation, do you? I'm told it contains treasures.
Everina, may I ask you a question?
Yes, what is it?
Well, you said something at the beginning of our talk, greatly exaggerating my renown and prosperity. If you would have known that I was destined to succeed, would you have married me?
But I did know it.
Well, I didn't.
You were too modest.
You didn't think so when I proposed to you.
But if I'd married you, I couldn't have married Clement. And he's so nice.
Yes, I learnt at dinner that you loved him. But it's painful to hear you say so.
But everybody seems to be going now. It must be late.
Well, my dear, I hope you enjoyed talking of the old days.
Oh, Clement, he wants to paint Amy.
Oh, of course. She's a charming child, Lion. Most interesting little creature.
I'm sure.
Does the most remarkable thing.
Clement.
Good night, Everina. We must have another talk tomorrow.
Clement.
Lion, we'll be meeting later in the smoking room.
Oh, yes.
You do smoke, I hope.
Yes, I'll be there.
Clement, don't talk of Amy to him. Please don't.
Why ever not, my dear?
I beg you, Clement, let him form his own opinion of her.
Spent much of the afternoon looking for my second horse.
Who doesn't know the country yet?
Ah, there you are, Lion.
What a wonderful array of smoking jackets. Yours, my dear Colonel. What a magnificent crimson. It makes me feel this modern age has its opportunities for costume after all.
The painter's eye, what?
Perhaps.
But I expect there'll only be a smallish muster here tonight. That's the worst of a hunting house. The men are so sleepy after dinner, don't you know?
Oh, it must be dull for the ladies, even those who hunt it themselves.
Quite so, but women are so extraordinary, they never show it. Let me get you a whiskey and soda. Splendid nightcap.
Thank you.
A wonderful country, this. Never see one.
That would be true, sir. I never had a better ride.
I expect you know the house. I'd like very much to explore it.
Here we are.
Oh, thank you.
Well, it'd be well worth it. Every now and then they discover a walled-up room or a secret staircase.
Fascinating.
Yes, there's some story about a skeleton they found years ago when they were repairing part of a passage floor.
Oh?
Family are rather shy about talking of it. It was in the old part.
Of course. That's where my room is, in the old part. It's very comfortable. Full of beautiful modern fittings, but I noticed the deep recess of the door and how old the staircase and corridor seems. I came down.
My dear Lion, I'm so sorry I managed to have so little direct conversation with you yet.
Not at all.
My wife and I are very glad to see you here.
Very gracious of you.
Now, let's sit down.
Yeah.
My father stood out a long time against the idea of a portrait, but I'm glad to say he's capitulated to you.
Good.
Clement, you're off to bed.
Oh, I think so. Nothing like a good day's hunting. Make you feel sleepy.
Oh, good night, then.
Good night. I've never painted an old man. I'm sure Sir David will be an interesting subject. I wish I'd already met him, though. Would you tell me a little about him, Mr. Ashmore?
Oh, I can tell you all about him.
Please do.
Oh, where shall I begin? A great character and a wise old man. Proud of his age, but ashamed of his infirmities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he greatly exaggerates these.
Mm. Is it true that he refused to be painted because if he ever sat for his portrait, he thought he'd die directly afterwards?
I've heard that legend. Got a shrewd idea who invented it, too. And it's utterly untrue.
Ah.
No, it's perfectly straightforward. My father thought that the proper time for a man to be painted was at the last. When the whole man is there, as he puts it. Do you agree?
Not quite, I think, but I see his point. He sounds a wonderful old man. What does he look like?
Oh, tremendously puckered, but not in the least dim.
No.
And as he fancies himself in his fur dressing gown, he'll probably insist on wearing that.
Oh, that sounds exactly what I should have chosen.
Good. Well, you'll see him in the morning, then.
Yes, and thank you for giving me such a clear picture of his personality. Well, I'll go off to bed to be fresh for the sitting. Good night, Mr. Ashmore.
Take your candle, then. The lights are out. I don't keep my servants up. Good night, Lion.
I dare say you wonder why I've avoided this ordeal for so long.
I confess I have.
Well, I'll tell you. It's simply that I hold that a gentleman should only be painted once in his lifetime. It's eager and fatuous to be hung all over the place. That's good for women. They make a pretty wall pattern. But the male face doesn't lend itself to decorative repetition.
I see.
Besides, a man must have reached maturity, don't you agree? Could only draw up a proper map when the country's been travelled.
I find your point of view extremely refreshing and original, sir. You'll be surprised at the numbers who clamour for a sitting.
Yes, but I'm not at all surprised. I said a gentleman should only be painted once.
Yes, I see the distinction you make. But please don't spread that opinion about, or I may starve.
Well, I do, just to ensure that you make this your masterpiece. Now, I say it's time for an enjoyable gossip. We must discuss the people staying in the house.
Yes.
Well, as I don't go out any more, I see much less of the visitors here. People I know nothing about come and go.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur told me the Capadoses had accepted. Have you met them yet?
Indeed, I have. Do you know them well, Sir David?
Well, so I knew two generations of Capadoses. General Capados, Clement's father, was a crony of mine.
Was he really?
Yes, he was rather a smart soldier, but in private life he was always speculating, always sneaking into the city to put his money into some rotten thing.
Huh. What became of him?
Oh, he married a girl who brought him something, and they had half a dozen children. Except for Clement, I scarcely know what became of the rest of them.
What about Clement, Colonel Capados?
He had some military talent. He served in the East, and he married a pretty girl. He was at Eton with Arthur, you know. He used to come here for the holidays.
I thought him rather attractive in some ways.
Oh, yes, Clement's a taking dog. Got one monstrous foible, though. He's a thumping liar.
Did you say a thumping liar?
Yes, yes. You're very lucky not to have found it out.
Well, I was beginning to be aware of a romantic approach, rather.
Oh, it isn't always romantic. He'll lie about the time of day, about the name of his hatter. It appears there are people like that.
And I say they're precious scoundrels.
No, not always. This fellow isn't in the least a scoundrel. He respected the service, never got into trouble there. No harm in him and no bad intention. Doesn't steal, nor cheat, nor gamble, nor drink. He's very kind. Sticks to his wife, is fond of his child. He simply doesn't give you a straight answer.
Then everything he told me last night, I suppose, was a lie. He delivered himself with a series of the stiffest statements. I never thought of so simple an explanation.
Well, no doubt he was in the vein. I believe it comes and goes like intermittent fever.
I can understand now why nobody seemed to listen to him. People just drifted away.
Well, my son tells me that his friends usually understand it and don't haul him up for the sake of his wife.
Oh, his wife. His wife.
I dare say she's used to it.
Hmm? Never in this world. How can she be used to it?
Dear sir, when a woman is fond, don't they mostly handle the longbow themselves? They're connoisseurs. They have a sympathy for a fellow performer.
Well, I can't deny Everina seems fond of her husband. But she's honest. I knew her years ago before her marriage, knew her well. She was as clear as a bell.
I like her very much. But I've seen her back up her husband.
Are you very sure?
You're in love with her.
Very likely. God knows I used to be.
Well, she must help him out. She can't expose him.
She can hold her tongue.
Well, before you, she probably will.
That's what I'm curious to see.
Yeah, there's a luncheon bell. They're bringing me up my food in a moment. I hope I haven't upset you.
And I hope I haven't tired you. Mercy on us, what must he have made of her?
There's a lot of good in him, you know.
My feelings now were clearly no secret to Sir David. And indeed, I was almost glad of it, for I realized it might steady me to confide in the old man from time to time. Oh, I firmly believe that a lie was the last thing she would have endured or condoned, the one thing she would not have forgiven. But did she sit in torment, I wondered, while her husband turned his somersaults? Or was she so much in love with him that it seemed to her only an added richness, a proof of life and talent? There was still the possibility that she hadn't found him out. Yet within an hour or two, she had been confronted by that perfectly gratuitous invention about the sale of my early picture. And as far as I could see, she hadn't smarted. I had to know. I had to be certain. I sat down beside her at tea in the hall and began to speak glowingly of her husband.
Oliver, it makes me so happy to hear you say these generous things about Clement.
But he's so charming. It isn't only that he's handsome, he's so sociable and amusing.
He is. He's all those things.
And of course, with it, he's such a gifted raconteur.
Isn't he? He's very popular, you know.
Oh, I can quite understand that. I felt a warmth for him at once. And do tell me, what kind of a man is your husband?
What kind? Dear me, how can one describe one's husband? I like him very much.
Alas, you told me that in our first talk.
Then why ask me again? He's everything that is good and kind. He's a soldier and a gentleman, and a dear. In fact, he hasn't a fault. Oh, yes, I forgot. He has great ability.
Yes, he strikes me as having great ability. Of course, I can't think him a dear.
Well, I don't care what you think of him.
You'll be going off tomorrow, I suppose. We must make arrangements for you to bring Amy for a portrait.
Well, that's really very good of you, Oliver. Yes, we are going off to the Frobishers tomorrow. I won't forget about Amy, I promise.
Good.
She's so beautiful already.
I'm not in the least surprised. By the way, has your husband never been painted? Yes, it's only just occurred to me, but I believe I very much enjoy painting, Clement. Could you persuade him to sit for me?
I don't see why not.
Good. Yes, the Colonel would make an interesting portrait.
When you're my age, time moves slowly. But I'll admit, these sittings have gone very quickly. Didn't you tell me this was to be the last?
I'm afraid so, Sir David. I've enjoyed them all, especially our talks. Though I'm afraid my preoccupation with the Colonel's effect on his wife must have been an intolerable bore. But when you so quickly diagnose my tenderness for her, well, I'm afraid the floodgates opened.
I think perhaps it's a good thing that they did. But I wish you could see him as I do.
I can't bear to think of her life for the man who's a byword for the most contemptible...
You don't know how she feels. Perhaps she's disgusted. Perhaps every night she makes him the most scorching scene after some hideous performance.
Well, but if after that he takes no trouble to cure himself, how can she regard him still with such perfectly artless complacency?
My dear fellow, I wonder if you hadn't been so in love with her still... Whether perhaps you mightn't have found the Colonel's weakness diverting?
Well, I'm sorry. I can see, as you say, he doesn't do it for gain. It's art for art's sake.
I'll grant you this, as you're conceding something. When he's in the vein, it's the singular futility of his fibs that used to offend me.
Yes.
They encumber the field of conversation, take up valuable space.
Right.
But if you distinguish, you'll notice his passion for the chase... And he's followed it in far countries. Some of his finest flowers of invention were reminiscences of lonely danger and escape. Oh, of course, the more solitary the scene, the bigger the flower. And a new acquaintance, you, for instance, would naturally receive the tribute of a bouquet.
I did indeed.
And this extraordinary man has inconsistencies and unexpected lapses into flat truthfulness. Very often he joins in the laugh against himself. He'll admit he was trying it on.
Still, I can't see him ever retracting or retreating. He'll dive and come up in another place.
Most of us like him. We've known his failing for so long, we don't discuss it.
He uses a big brush to portray his own bravery.
Perhaps, but he is unmistakably brave. He's a capital rider and shot.
At first I thought he didn't swagger, but now I've seen him bragging, and it makes him seem vulgar, cheap, perhaps. As if he were an adventurer imitating a gentleman, or a dethroned prince, or a war correspondent of a newspaper, a mixture of good manners and bad taste.
Well, I haven't seen him for more than a moment for 4 years. Perhaps age has cautioned him a little.
I've watched Everina when he's in full swing. Her face shows nothing. The wonder is that she nearly always listens. Must be her pride.
I think it will be good for you to get back to London. Dissecting poor old Clement is deuced bad for you. Now, I won't listen to another word on that subject. I want to have a long look at what you've made of me, and I shall tell you if I don't like what I see. Be very sure of that, my dear fellow.
Well, I finished the portrait and took my departure. flattered and relieved to find that the Ashmores were highly enthusiastic, for I was ashamedly aware that my obsession might have taken the edge off my observation during my sittings. Once in town, I made haste to call on Capadose, and Everina encouraged my visits. Yet, if she liked me, why hadn't she married me? Or at any rate, why wasn't she sorry that she had not? I didn't ask much after all, not that she should love me now, or allow me to say that I loved her, only that she should simply let me know, somehow, by some sign, that her life with me would have been finer. Instead of this, she seemed anxious only that I should appreciate Amy. Well, the child was beautiful, with the prettiest eyes of innocence I had ever seen, which didn't prevent me wondering whether she told horrid lies. Her little face wasn't shifty, but neither was her father's big one, so that proved nothing. Everina always came with her to the studio. Sometimes, perhaps presumptuously, I wondered whether the sign I so longed for might not simply be that she sat there so contentedly.
Amy, darling, I expect Mr. Lyon would let you rest now. You look quite pale.
Oh, yes. She's been posing very well. Get down then, Amy. Ring for tea, would you?
I've got pins and needles.
Now, rub your foot. It's only stiffness. Run about and explore the studio, hmm?
What a lovely little dagger. May I pick it up?
No, darling. It might be sharp. Put it down.
Then can I open the door and run into the garden, please?
Hmm? May she, Oliver?
Of course.
There, you may. Only put on your coat, and you mustn't go near the gate into the street. Now, promise, Amy.
Yes, Mama, I promise. Oh, I can't open the door.
Oh, I expect it's locked or bolted. It's really the door the models use. Very convenient. They don't have to come through the house or bother the servants. Wait, I'm coming. There. Off you go.
Oh, it's not a very big garden, is it? I can see the traffic over the fence.
Well, just have a little run, darling, to stretch your legs. And then come back and help Mrs. Herring carry the tray down. Shut the door, Amy.
Well, how's Clement?
Oh, he's away for a few days fishing in Scotland.
I'm surprised you let him go off on his own so often.
I think he's only been away twice without me since the autumn. Besides, I really prefer staying at home. I love having Amy to myself.
I didn't know you had a little pond with a fish in it. I love it here. Can I go up to the gallery now and open the door for Mrs. Herring?
That's right. Go up and help Mrs. Herring.
Sitting down there. I can hear Mrs. Herring with the tray. Good afternoon, Mrs. Herring. I'm helping you.
Oh, thank you, miss. Just the right moment you open the door. Now, I can manage the tray, really, if you just hold back the curtain for me. It's so heavy. That's it. Thank you. You like strawberry jam?
I do. I do.
Good afternoon, madam.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Herring.
Shall I pour out for you?
No, thank you very much. It's all right.
I'll get you some more hot water.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Herring.
Lemon.
Yes, please.
And you, darling?
Thank you.
There you are.
Thank you.
I wish we had tea this way.
Well, perhaps you and I can. Your father's not often in for tea, is he?
Ah, Clement. He really will sit, won't he?
Well, I have to be honest. He'd love to. But you know our circumstances. We can't possibly afford the price you should have for your exquisite thing of Amy.
Oh.
And you know how we treated the portrait of me when I was young. Well, we couldn't order the portrait of Clement. It would be a luxury quite beyond our means.
Hmm. Why not let him sit for me as a favour? It'd be a lot of good to paint him. I mean, to my reputation. And the picture will remain in my hands.
Well, how will it do you a lot of good?
He's got such an expressive face. I've dreamed for years of producing something that bears the stamp of a psychologist as well as a painter. I tried it with Sir David's portrait, but only partly succeeded.
Well, how do you mean, psychology?
Well, to get the essence of one sitter, his inner character, as well as his features. His nature.
Oh, you want to paint Clement's nature?
Of course I do. That's what makes a great portrait give you. It will put me in the very front rank, I hope.
Well, his nature is very noble, and you appreciate him. I'll persuade him. You'll probably enjoy it.
If he sits, I'll make it my masterpiece.
and it will give me the richest private satisfaction.
I must say, nothing would induce me to let you pry into my nature in that way.
Oh, you. I could paint you from memory. You haven't changed a bit. It was July before the colonel began his sittings, and the character emerged so rapidly that my only anxiety was the impossibility of entering it in the academy catalogue simply as the liar. Still, that hardly mattered, for the sitter's personality was susceptible to the meanest intelligence. As I saw nothing else in Clement but his weakness, I gave myself up to the joy of painting nothing else. The truth lay in the eyes and in the mouth. It was in every line of the face and the attitude. And I knew the satisfaction of feeling life grow under my brush. By the 5th of August, it was finished. And as the weather was very warm, while the colonel sat and gossiped, I opened the model's door behind the dais which led into the garden and the street.
Might be in the country here. It's extraordinary.
Yes.
The Ashmores told me how deuced strict you are about letting your victims see what you've done to them till it's finished.
Ah, quite true.
But now you say this won't be finished for some time, and even I can't see it yet.
I'm afraid so.
Well, Everina's mad to see it, though I warned her you wouldn't agree. She raised such a fuss at breakfast this morning that I wondered if you'd make an exception and let her just look in for a moment on our way to the station tomorrow. What do you say?
No, really not yet. I'm sorry. I explained I wanted to mull it over for a little while alone. Everina knows I want this to be my masterpiece. And I'm afraid she'll have to wait. Try and convince her.
Well, women don't like to take no for an answer, but I'll do my best.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good God.
Oh, Lord.
I'll venture to come this way, sir, direct, because often when I go to call on the gentleman, the servants turn me off. Play me tricks, won't take me name.
But how did you get into the garden?
Oh, the servants' gate was open. The butcher's cart was there. The
butcher ought to have closed it.
Then you don't require me, sir.
No, thank you. I'm doing nothing at the moment for which you could be useful.
If ever you should need me, just send me a postcard addressed to Miss Geraldine, Mortimer Terrace Mews, Notting Hill.
Yeah, very well, I'll remember.
I thought I'd just call. On the off chance.
Well, I'm afraid I can't hold out any hopes. I am busy with portraits.
Yes, I see you are. I wish I was in that gentleman's place.
I'm afraid in that case it wouldn't look like me.
Oh, of course, it couldn't compare. It wouldn't be so handsome. But I do hate them portraits. They're so much bred out of our mouths, they are.
Well, I'm damned.
Very dreadful. She's drunk.
Yes, I do hate them amateurs. I do, really.
Does she mean?
Well, am I not painting anyone who isn't a professional model? Not painting her, in fact.
And has she ever sat for you?
Never. She's quite mistaken. I've never seen her before.
She was very pretty 10 years ago.
Oh, I dare say, but she's quite finished now. For me, the least drop too much spoils them. I couldn't care for her at all. I couldn't possibly use her.
My dear fellow, she's not a model.
Well, she has been one. Today, no doubt, she's not worthy of the name.
That woman a model? Not on your life. That's all a pretext.
A pretext.
She didn't want you. She wanted me.
Really? What does she want of you?
Oh, do me an ill turn. She hates me. Lots of women do. She's watching me. She follows me.
My dear Colonel, do tell me more.
I was annoyed when she came in, but I wasn't startled.
Well, you concealed it very well if you were.
Ah, today I was half prepared. I saw her hanging about near my house this morning. She must have followed me.
Who is she, then? It took some nerve.
Yes, she has that, but as you observed, she was primed. Still, it was cheek, as they say, her coming in.
Yes, but what do you know of her?
She's a bad lot. She isn't a model, and she never was. Oh, no doubt she's known some of those women and picked up their form. Well, she got hold of a young gander in my family 10 years ago, and I was obliged to take a hand and extricate him.
Oh.
She knew it was me she had to thank when he got rid of her, and she's never forgiven me.
I see.
I think she's off her head. Oh, of course, her name isn't Geraldine at all, and I doubt very much if that's her address.
What is her name, then?
It's Pearson.
Pearson.
Harriet Pearson. But I quite lost sight of her. Hadn't thought of her for years. I don't know what her idea is now, but practically she's harmless.
I'm very glad you think that.
Oh, yes. Somehow she's found out that I come here. I shouldn't wonder if she isn't waiting about for me now.
Hadn't you better have protection?
The best protection is 5 shillings.
Oh.
I'm willing to go that length, unless she has a bottle of vitriol.
Ah.
But they only throw vitriol on men who have deceived them. And I never deceived her. I told her from the start it wouldn't do.
Well, I'll contribute another 5.
Well, I'll accept that, old boy. It might give me exemption for some time. If she is still hovering, I'll walk a little way with her, talk it over, and then pay her off.
Right. But as this is your last visit for a little while, do write and tell me if she materializes again.
Rather, that's a promise. As you know, we're on our usual round of houses. You'll be at your brother's, I believe.
Yes, yes, he has a beautiful, restful house in the heart of the country. But if I do happen to feel the creative inspiration too strongly to resist, then I can always get back to the studio before the impulse dies.
Splendid arrangement.
Mm. Mind you, I don't expect that to happen. And I need a rest. But I like to know it would be possible.
Well, goodbye then. We've amused ourselves pretty well during the sittings, I think.
Yes, indeed.
Sorry you're still adamant about letting us see the magnum opus. But I'll try and pacify Everina. And when we're all back in the autumn, we'll make a concerted attack. Goodbye then.
Bye. Mrs. Herring? Mrs. Herring?
Why, sir, we didn't expect you. You've only been away a week. Oh, dear, cook's helping me to do some turning out.
Never mind that, Mrs. Herring. I'm not stopping long. I wanted to have another look at that unfinished painting. I wanted to be sure about something.
Well, I've never known you to come back so soon from your holiday, sir, and us all upside down. Well, one good thing, though, you'll be just in time to see the lady and gentleman. They're in the studio now. Rang the bell 5 minutes ago. I hope it's all right, sir.
But who on earth are they?
Oh, you know them, sir. That's why I let them in. The lady with the little girl and the colonel with the funny name.
Oh, that's all right, Mrs. Herring.
But anyway, there they are. You'll have to mind the stairs to the gallery door, sir. We took up the carpet. But the big rug and the curtain inside are still there.
I'm glad of that. I should be able to get some idea of how they like the portrait before they know I'm here. People often don't speak the truth to your face, do they, Mrs. Herring? Do you find that?
Oh, yes, sir. Hmm? Why, the butcher. Why, he's here. Look, I'll see the cook makes a nice little lunch for me.
Thank you, Mrs. Herring. Yeah, I never dreamed I'd descend to eavesdropping, but I'm going to do it now.
Damn him. Oh. Darling, do you try to tell me what the devil is it?
So cruel. Lightless is so cruel.
Damn the fellow. Damn him for upsetting you.
It's all there. Everything.
Hang it. What's all there, darling?
Everything that ought not to be. But he's seen.
Everything he's seen? Why, ain't I a good-looking fella? I think he's made me rather handsome.
Handsome? Hideous. He's made you hideous. Everyone will know. Everyone will see when he's in the academy.
But what has he done? What has he made of me?
He knows. He's seen, I tell you. And they'll all know when it's hung.
Well, it beats me, but you're getting wilder and wilder. If you hate the portrait so much, why needn't go to the academy?
It's so good.
It's so good, I think I'm going mad.
Oh, I can't bear to be in the room with such a vile thing. Come away, come.
Not through the house, darling. We'll go through the garden door. I'll unbolt it. This way, darling.
Clemens.
I'll catch you up. Wait in the garden. I've lost the glove. Academy, indeed. I'll soon settle that. Oh, his little paper knife is as sharp as a razor. Damn him! Damn him! Damn him! Damn him! Damn him! Damn him!
He's hacked it to death.
Oh! I feel dizzy. I must sit down.
I certainly got my satisfaction. She is ashamed of her husband. And what's more, I have made her so.
Are you there, sir? Oh, yes. And I see the lady and gentleman have gone.
Yes. They went by the garden.
Well, cook's got you ever such a nice lunch, sir. On a tray.
Thank you, Mrs. Herring.
Well. Oh. Gracious. Oh, you have served that pitcher, sir. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. I cut it up in a fit of disgust.
Mercy. Oh, and after all your trouble. Because they weren't pleased, sir.
No, they weren't pleased. They certainly weren't pleased.
I left for France by the afternoon boat and stayed away for 2 months. During that time, I expected something. I could hardly have said what, but a manifestation of some sort on the colonel's part. Wouldn't he write? Wouldn't he explain? Would he plead guilty, or would he repudiate suspicion? The latter course would be difficult, and make considerable demands upon his genius in view of the certain testimony of Mrs. Herring. And Everina's version, what line would she take? One of her own, or would she simply adopt the colonel's? Silence. Weeks passed. And then a letter arrived from her, breathing nothing but good humor. It contained no hint of bad conscience or grievance. The most interesting part was in the postscript. I have a confession to make. We were in town for a couple of days in early September, and I used the occasion to defy your authority. It was bad of me, but I couldn't help it. I made Clement take me to your studio. I wanted so dreadfully to see what you'd done with him, though I know you forbade this. We made Mrs. Herring let us in, and I took a good look at the picture. It is really wonderful. Do come to luncheon on the first Sunday after your return. I came back to London next day, and on the following Sunday, presented myself.
Mr. Lyon, madam.
Oliver.
My dear fellow, we're delighted to see you. I'm so keen to start our sittings again.
Oh, you must go on. It's so beautiful.
Ah. Then, you think I've got something?
You've got everything.
She wrote to you of our little crime. She dragged me there. I had to go.
Your little crime?
Well, you know how much I enjoy our sittings. It gives such an opportunity for my bavardise. I mean, my fantastic vein. Just now I'm comparatively free, so do let's get on.
But your portrait was practically finished.
So it was, more's the pity. I should like you to begin again.
My dear fellow, I shall have to. The picture's been destroyed.
Destroyed? Oh, what did you do that for?
I didn't. I found it with a dozen gashes punched in it.
I say.
I hope you didn't do it.
For the love of sitting to you. If I'd thought of it, I would have. Don't tell me it's ruined.
Perhaps you did it, Everina.
I say, darling, that woman.
That woman?
Don't you remember? When we came out, she was near the door. I told you about her. Geraldine. Geraldine. The one who burst in when I was sitting that day. I called Everina's attention to her. You remember now, darling, surely?
Oh, yes, I remember now.
Do you mean she got my picture?
Of course, she burst in again. She'd learned the way. She was waiting a chance, the little brute.
Well, I'd have to have proof before I wantonly sacrificed some innocent person. I can't for an instant believe that poor creature had anything to do with it. I'd never set eyes on her before she came looking for work that day or after it. I can't imagine how she got in. When I'm away, the place is always locked.
Oh, we left by the garden door without troubling your housekeeper. My dear Lyon, I can't have been guilty of not fastening the door.
I'm sure I don't know, Colonel. The damage was done by a very determined hand. A perfect wildcat.
Well, she is a wildcat, confound her. That's why I wanted to get her away from him.
But what motive could she possibly have?
Well, she's off her head and she hates me. That was the motive.
But why should she hate me, my dear fellow?
She hated the picture, don't you remember? She said so. The more portraits there are, the less work there is for the likes of us.
Yes, but you claim that she's not a model at all, never had been, so how could that hurt her?
Well, she was in a vicious muddle. As I say, she's off her head.
Really too bad. It's too horrid. You see, Oliver, the fates are against you. Providence won't let you be so disinterested, painting masterpieces for nothing.
Everina, did you see this woman?
But there was a person not far from the door, whom Clement pointed out. He told me something about her.
And do you think she did it?
And how can I tell? If she did, she was mad, poor wretch.
Oh, depend on it. She'll never show up again. You're safe.
At any rate, I remember her address. Mortimer Terrace Mews, Notting Hill.
Oh, that's pure humbug. There isn't any such place. Is there anyone else you suspect?
Not a creature.
And what do your servants say?
They say it wasn't them, and I reply I never thought it was.
When did they discover the havoc?
They never discovered it at all. I did, when I came back.
Well, she could have easily slipped in. Don't you remember how she turned up that day like a clown in the rain?
Oh, yes, she could have done the job in 3 seconds, except that the picture wasn't out.
My dear Lion, don't curse me. But, of course, I dragged the picture out.
Oh, and you didn't put it back.
Oh, Clement, didn't I tell you to?
You did, I must admit, fool that I am. Ah, well, Lion, I'm so ashamed and mortified at my blundering stupidity. Very thought that I may have made it easier for her. I think the best thing I can do is to take myself off to my club and out of your sight for the present. One day, in your generosity, you may see your way to forgive my irreparable carelessness. My dear Lion.
Really, Kemp, I think it would be best if you went to the club. I'll try to help in every way. One thing we're sure of, Oliver is a generous friend. I'm sure he'll forgive you in time.
Don't forsake us, old fellow. I'll sit again any time you like.
Thanks.
But can nothing be done? Can't the picture be repaired? You know they can do wonders in that way.
I don't know. I don't care, though. Let's speak of the wretched thing anymore. And you did like it? Really?
Oh, I loved it, Oliver. You know that.
Really?
Yes. Clement said you made him so handsome. Oh. Do please forgive me. I'm sorry to seem so inhospitable. Later, I have to go out.
Yes, of course, I must go anyhow. Everina, one more thing. I can't make out why you came to the studio day after day as though you liked to be there while I was painting the child. Why? Why?
Why? To bring Amy and take her home, of course.
Is that all?
To get on with my embroidery?
Yes, I see. That poor creature... Which way was she going when you came out of the studio? It might be a clue worth following.
Oh, you mean that woman? She was going away from us. She crossed the road. We were going toward the Marlborough Road station.
Did she look around? Did she appear to recognize the Colonel?
Oh, yes, she did. But I didn't notice much. A hansom came along and we got into it. It was then Clement told me about her. I remember he said she was there for no good. Suppose we ought to have gone back.
Yes. You'd have saved the picture.
I'm very sorry for you, Oliver. But you must remember that I possess the original.
That was The Liar by Henry James. John Bentley played Oliver Lyon. The radio adaptation was by Mary Hope Allen, and production was by R.D. Smith.